This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me in the JPR studios today, back for the first time in about 3 years when he was here with the Barr Brothers, Leif Vollebæk. Hello. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome back.
My math skills are not so good when they come to time. And so you're like 2015 or 20, December? 14.
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, yeah, it's only a couple of years ago. Nope.
But it's the room that you remember, though, right?
I remember everything.
The padded walls and the low ceilings and everything.
Yeah, we came about it from a different angle, I think, in my mind.
You have referred to yourself as a Montreal adopted singer-songwriter. What does that mean? Where are you originally from?
Oh, I'm originally from Ottawa, Canada, a couple hours away.
But is Montreal still home?
It is home, but I've been gone a lot recently, so now I feel like home is where the heart is, or whatever you want to say. I don't know.
Do you have an actual place or just like a storage unit for your stuff?
Well, I'm finally thinking about the storage unit for stuff, but then a storage unit with a bed, and then I realized, oh, that's my apartment. So it's fine.
The brand new record is called Twin Solitude. It's the third. It's out on Secret City Records. LeifVollebæk.com is the web address to learn more about him, although not much. The website's a little sparse. It's just kind of tour routing.
I joke about it with some friends of mine, because I realized I think I made the website for me, because what I want to know is where I am and what I'm doing. And all the time when I'm hanging out with people, it comes up like, oh, well, when are you going to be in Seattle? And I go, well, 1 second. And then I look, and then I can even be like, it's there. And then they go, oh. And also, but I think most people's websites, I just want to know where they're playing. I don't know what else there is to know.
Right.
There's
right.
other things.
Because you can always just go to Instagram or Twitter to see what they're
everything
thinking.
Everything else like Google is the web. That's weird. Everything's so complicated.
I want to go back in time a few years before I have you play a tune, because just ahead of the release of your debut, which was called Inland, you were like on walkabout, so to speak, right? You were in Iceland for a while studying philosophy and music?
No, I was just doing music on my own. I was studying Bob Dylan on my own.
It's an okay thing to study.
Independent study. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What took you to Iceland?
I was in Ottawa, where I grew up, which is any town where you grow up. I think at one point you say I need to be me for a while, you know, away from you. City I grew up in, and so I was gonna quit school, but then I met this guy from Iceland who was like, oh, you should consider spending time in Iceland. It's very good, like a very inspiring place to learn Icelandic and good landscapes. And then I was like, oh, that sounds great. I'll do that.
Well, you've obviously picked up a pretty good accent. Did you pick up the language as well?
Yeah. I mean, I have enough that I can mess with people a little bit. You know, like I'm good at like the first 5 minutes if I'm in control, you know.
Well, let's hear a tune. Leif Vollebæk is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called Twin Solitude, out on Secret City. LeifVollebæk.com is the website. What do you want to play first?
I'm going to play this song called Michigan. Got my head, got my guitar, pack up the bag, get in the car, look out the back. Window, say hello to all the snow. It's piling up upon the road.
I'm not gonna stop. If I can. Never been to Michigan. Never been to Michigan. Now all the news is broken now, and all those things don't matter anyhow. There's an 18-wheeler with a sticker for the Steelers, and I'm done with healers and sycophants. Never been to Michigan. Never been to Michigan. Now sometimes life, it gets in the way of everything. Change today. No sweet direction to settle on. You and me, Robert, we ramble on. We captured time in its essence, then we were kids and we still are them. Now there's a chance, maybe. I've never been. I've never been to Michigan. Never been to Michigan. Never been to Michigan. Never been to Michigan.
That one's called Michigan. It's Leif Volebeck live today on Jefferson Public Radio. A tune from his third record, just out, called Twin Solitude, out on Secret City. Beautiful tune, really pretty. And I noticed on the record that you've got sort of a guitar set and a piano set, mm-hmm. right? Were you always a dual player on guitar and piano, or did one come later?
I think I always kind of fooled around on the piano. I play good. I kind of, when I started teaching myself an instrument for the first time, I used to play violin, but the first instrument that I did on my own was guitar. So that was the one where I was like, everything I did on it was like, I didn't have any like pressure or weight from a teacher or anything like that. And then I transposed guitar chords to the piano. Guitar came first, but now piano feels much more natural to me.
Were there any pianists that you were listening to specifically? Because the voicings are what's so striking on the record.
Oh, you like the voicings?
I do.
Oh, nice. I dislike a lot of piano, like pop piano, but
it can sometimes be hard to hear the most interesting stuff they play, right? Because it's so buried behind everyone else.
Yeah, well, you know, at the beginning on the intro of Love and Cup, I don't know if you know that song, it's all piano. It's like the best thing ever. But also a lot of 80s Bob Dylan. There's a lot of gospel voicings that he does that I think are really great.
What's your balance when you're out playing at a gig between guitar and piano?
It's about half-half, yeah. Really. Yeah. Yeah, and if there's a grand piano, I'd rather just do it all on piano, kind of alone. I'd rather do it. My dream set was in Toronto like 2 years ago, and it was a friend of mine did a piano festival, and she like rented a piano at her venue. And I have my friend Charlotte Cornfield, who books this venue called The Burdock in Toronto. It's like a really nice 100-cap room in Toronto with beer and stuff.
Are you able to do that pretty well? Just take all of the songs, even the ones that you've written on guitar, and sit down at a piano and still play them?
Yeah, I mean, maybe a couple just have to change so much that maybe it's not worth it.
Because it's different, right? You don't have that rhythmic strum.
Yeah. I've noticed how to just kind of like lay off a bit. I used to only play in 6/8 on the piano because that was the only way I can like strum it. You know, like ding, 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 ding. But now I've learned to play a little bit less and like let the backbeat happen on its own. But most of the songs I wrote on piano anyways, and so guitar is just where they kind of breathe a little better sometimes.
It's easier to travel with too.
Yeah.
So it's been about 4 years since your last album, North Americana, came out.
Uh-huh.
As I understand, there was a period of time in there where you didn't really take a break, so to speak, but you took a break from Leif Vollebekk music.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Why? What was behind that?
I mean, I think that's what everybody does, right? They get tired of playing their songs and they're like, oh God, you write something and then you take it on the road and you find out. It's like a friend, really. If you take a friend on the road, you find out, you know.
Next time, not so much.
Yeah, they're going to stick around. Some songs didn't change with me, and some did. And I was telling a friend of mine, Gregory Alan Isakoff, do you know him?
Mm-hmm,
he's
sure.
A fantastic singer-songwriter. We were on tour together, and we talk about music stuff. It's nice. And I was telling him that... Some of the songs I felt like the entry point for them got smaller. It's not that I didn't like the songs at all. I just was like, if I wasn't feeling this certain mood, then I couldn't play them. They weren't open to other moods or like, you know what I mean? Like they're a bit rigid.
Yeah.
Whereas like a good folk song, you can, you know, you swap a verse and it becomes like a love song or it becomes a murder ballad or, you know, it's anything you're feeling at the time, really. And I think good songs kind of are resilient like that, and so not a lot of them kind of I was like, I can't, you know, I can only play that song if I have a violin drone and an open tuning and like this and like this, and it would be difficult, you know.
Well, I imagine it was also a learning experience probably to be playing songs that were structured differently than Leif Vollebekk songs, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, some of the better Alexi Murdoch songs have a similar structure to some of the stuff that you've done, like Elegy specifically, where there's really just one change.
Uh-huh.
It just kind of alternates back and forth, right?
Yeah.
Sort of like Orange Sky does.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant song that Alexi Murdoch wrote. But if you're doing Tom Waits songs or Kendrick Lamar songs, they're just differently structured.
Yeah. Well, you learn... there's one thing that I notice when you do a cover. Like when you sing a song that you know, you think you get it, but you don't until you like play the chords or play the guitar and learn all the lyrics and know them by heart, then it's like you get to step inside the shoes of the author, and it's very different. It would be like, you know, watching a movie or making the movie kind of thing, I think. And it's, you end up picking up on all these little things. You're like, oh, like, I never realized there's, like, they drop a beat there, and it creates tension for this next thing. And the next time you're writing a song, that's something that might come to you naturally. Or, you know, like, or some images that really work when you're singing it live. You're like, oh, that gives me a lot of energy singing that line. And so for me, it's more like having a good diet. Like, you can't just eat your own songs or else you just, you know, you just have meconium or something coming out of your...
When you got to the end of that period where you had kind of taken a break from your stuff, did you rediscover your existing songs, or did you just rediscover the joy of making new songs?
I enjoy playing new songs for sure. There's a couple of songs that always stuck around, and
because you liked them or your fans liked them?
Well, I don't have that many fans, so I've been really blessed. I mean it in a weird way, but nobody gets mad at me for not playing my hit. I don't have any, you know, so it's been nice, like, not being beholden, you know? Sometimes there's someone who likes this specific song from my first record, but it's not that often.
Yeah.
But It's kind of obvious. I'm not very intelligent or self-aware in many aspects, and one of them is like writing, which is probably good because you don't want to be too self-conscious. But all the songs that I felt I could still play, I realized that there's two different kinds of songs. There's the ones you write quickly and don't think about, and there's the ones that you work on. And there's a bit of gray area, but the ones that I wrote really quickly, like in a flash and kind of unbeknownst to myself, and when I was younger, I didn't think about that it was a strange thing or a good thing. And those ones stuck around. There's a song called Off the Main Drag, another one called Photographer Friend off of North Americana. And those two, I kind of forgot, but I wrote them. I just sat down, I wrote the whole thing all the way through, and then that was it, and then the song was done. And I was like, oh, that's cool, that doesn't happen all the time. And the other ones I worked on, and it's those other ones that I worked on that kind of have like, not all of them, but sometimes, you know, it's hard to connect with them again because they come from maybe like...
They were businesslike.
Well, right? not so much, more like emotion. I was a bit more, I controlled the conversation a bit too much maybe, you know.
Well, a lot of the songs on the new record did come in a spur of inspiration.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in just a bit. Lee Volebeck is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record is called Twin Solitude, out on Secret City. LeeVolebeck.com, VolebeckK.com is the web address. Not that you'll find much information on him. You have another tune for us? What do you want to do next?
I'm going to do a song called Telluride. That is on the record, and
there's a bit of a theme. Michigan, Telluride.
Yeah.
What's the story of this one?
I was at my friend Greg's farm, a great songwriter, great Alan Isakoff, and did a house show there. And I think it was the most attractive group of human beings ever assembled. I don't know what they put in the water in Colorado. And after the show, everybody was just chatting, and I heard people talking about Telluride, and I was like, I'd never heard of it, which I should have, but I haven't been there. But I thought it sounded beautiful, and a couple months later, I woke up and I had like this song in my head, and I wrote it down. Talking trash, soon to become ash. Nobody asked to be here. Sun's going down over yonder, and I wonder. I may be lost, but I can see here. Tell you right. Telluride. I've dressed up in poems, and I've written on the rails, and I've seen picture postcards, and I've draped them in the sails. White ones, they go blue. Red ones go all green. One thing that I'm sure of, it's never the way that it seems. Telluride, 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 Telluride. Oh, sweet sister, come here. I got some news for you. Someone out there waiting, and he's waiting just on you. As for me, I'm surely
gonna miss my kiss from you. But that don't mean I wanna spend eternity trying to make you blue. Tell you right, 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 tell you right.
That is Lee Volebeck live today on Jefferson Public Radio. A tune from his record called Twin Solitude, out on Secret City. Well, Lee, just before the tune, I mentioned briefly that some of the songs on this new record came to you in a moment of inspiration. One of them is the tune that leads off the record, Vancouver Time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting. There are so many songs in the world of music that talk about heading out west to California, right? But yours is a twist. Being Canadian, it's heading out west to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Vancouver Time. This actually came to you, a song that came to you all intact, all at once.
Yeah. I hadn't written a song in a while, like a good while. A really long while, so it was nice to have something come along.
Another one that we've been playing a lot from the record is Elegy. There's now a new video out for that. And that one, you're speaking to me now as a cyclist, that one came to you on a bike ride.
Yeah. I got a terrible bike.
But not the drum beat. The drum beat didn't come until you were swimming?
Yeah. Just trying to stay out of the way. Yeah, the song came to me. I thought it was a Stevie Wonder song. It had like a Motown feel. It was much faster.
Elegy was it? Yeah. Like a Motown thing?
Really fast. And it was like, you know, like, tick, 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 kick, kick. You know, like that was the natural beat that came with it. And it was like, I thought it was a joke. So I was like, oh, I can't write a song like this. It makes no sense. And like, what am I going to do? A Motown song? Made no sense. And then tried it a couple different ways. And then it wasn't working. And then I was like, oh, I guess it's just not a good, like, it's not working. And then, I went for a swim at the Y, and then I was like, oh, it's more like a Buffalo Springfield drum beat, really, you know, like for what it's worth, you know.
Tell me about the guys that you brought together to play on the record. Especially that you have a great story about the bassist and how he worked with you.
Shahzad, he's a real character. I don't see him anymore. I don't know where he is, but he's a real sweet musician. I saw him play. He was like only playing like one song with this artist, Vieux Farka Touré.
Mm-hmm, sure.
He's like playing one note for a couple of those songs, like, and he was like totally in the pocket. And like
best one note ever?
Yeah. And I was like, well, that's my music in a nutshell. So I asked him to play on my record, and he was like, yeah. And he came up and recorded, and he looked at my, the first day we were in there, I was like kind of nervous because I hadn't played with him before. I like kind of took a chance, you know, flying a guy up to record, and he just looked at my left hand and when I was playing piano for a while, and just to figure out my sense of time, and then he must have looked at my left hand for about 15 minutes, and then he sat back down, and then the rest of the week, always in the pocket.
No kidding.
The whole time.
Wow.
Yeah, very good pocket.
Huh. Who else is on the record with you?
Olivier Fairfield, who's on tour with me right now, and he plays with all kinds of folks, and he's also my drummer, Phil Melanson, who plays now more with Martha Wainwright. But he played on North Americana as well. Mm. So, and I wanted like to have the two drummers, because the mood of the record is so important. Each song has its own mood, and drums are the mood. Like, drums control everything. And so kind of having the right drummer for the right song is kind of really important. And so it was nice. Phil is a bit more circular and open. And, you know, and Olivier seems to be more, I mean, you put two people in a room and you start comparing them, you know, they're very different. You know, another drummer would say that they're very similar in that they're very sensitive drummers, but.
Each of them adds their own color,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is my clunky transition into the conversation that you had recently with Tom Power on Q,
Oh, yeah.
About synesthesia.
Yeah, you sprung that one on me. Hey, that, so you're that crazy.
That was a relatively new thing for you to come to the realization that you have at least a mild case of synesthesia?
Yeah, well,
is it a case, a mild form?
I have had a case of synesthesia. I don't know anything about it. All I know is that I've always seen colors with certain things lightly. Like the biggest example is like if I'm playing poker and I have an ace and a four, they're both yellow. Because of the way the lines look, It looks like yellow to me. So I'm always like pocket yellow, like maybe going to bet solid on this.
Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses was our guest a while back, and she has a pretty severe case of synesthesia, and she actually thinks of her songs in colors, and that's how she remembers how to play them.
Oh, wow.
Because she can play maroon or she can play purple or whatever. Yeah. But if you just ask her to just play the tune based on chords, she doesn't remember.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, I'm also like a huge geek. I quit music lessons, but I really into theory. So I just kept going, paying for my theory lessons. I'd like went as far as I could, like with like these private conservatory theory lessons. I was like, ooh, German 6, this is cool. And, you know, like That's my bag. So I don't really need colors to remember stuff. But it's not crazy. Like I can be influenced very easily. You know, if a record color has a certain color, record cover has a certain color, I'll like take that with me when I'm listening to a record and like let that color the songs a little bit.
But sometimes
it won't. Like it's not like completely, you know, like debilitating. Like I smell cut grass and I'm like hearing like sharp 5 chords or something, but certain like the piano and the drums, I knew I wanted them to have a certain color on this record. It depends, you know. Yeah. But Elegy is like this, like I think I was telling Tom, but it's like a dark, like muted gold kind of like tarnished thing. This is the piano sound that we got. I think has that kind of bright but like kind of dirty cruddiness to it.
Well, let's talk about what you're up to for the next however much longer you're out on the road, right? Headline tour here in the States for the new record.
Yeah, first one.
Congratulations. It feels different, doesn't it?
It's so nice. It's really nice. It's just that I've been doing it for a while. And like usually I'm just used to it like being like, it was 5 last time, now it's 20. And I'm like, that makes sense. This is great. And then it's like, oh, there's more people than normal.
Wait till the JPR bump.
Huge. Look out.
Huge. When you play Duluth, it's going to blow up. It's going to be massive.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Lee Volebeck is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. His new record just out on Secret City is called Twin Solitude. He's got one more for us. What do you want to wrap up with?
I'm going to play a song called East of Eden.
Tell me, where are you going? You got the jack of diamonds, you got the nine of hearts. When the cards get stuck together, it's so hard to pull them apart. I think your face is showing. It ain't the first time that it's snowing. The first time in years that it has stayed on the ground. When it hits the street, oh, it don't make a sound. So there's just no way of knowing. Tell me, is she east of Eden? She's just like a book and I don't want it to end. Take it with me where I go. Turn the pages slow. But she's just like a book, I don't want it to end. I love how we talk at night. I love how we talk at night. And the blue electric light. I love how we talk at night. I love how we talk at night. And the blue electric light. I'm not the only one. No, I'm not the only one. At least I'm not the lonely one. No, I'm not the only one. No, I'm not the only one. At least I'm not the lonely one. Just do what you are doing. Do what you are doing.
That is Lee Vollebecq playing for us live today on Jefferson Public Radio. It's music from his new record called Twin Solitude out on Secret City. You'll find some information, at least where he's at, online. LeeVollebecq.com. Leaf, it's good to see you again, man.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for dropping by. Please come back and see us again.
I'll do it anytime. How about tomorrow?